Welcome to Real Career Talk. I'm your host, Phil Perquette. This is a monthly interview brought to you by the Network National, where we spend 30 minutes with internal and external experts discussing career hot topics. Those topics include our 2021 talent development pillars, including adaptability, mentoring, continuous learning, sponsorship, and advocacy. And also building relationships for you, your career, and your organization. Today, I am honored to have with us my incomparable co-host and friend, LaToya Henry, Lead Manager, Communications and Public Relations. Good afternoon. How are you, LaToya?
Afternoon. I am absolutely wonderful. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you today so we can break it down. Career Real Talk. I'm ready.
Awesome. So before we get started, let's just tell them a little bit about yourself. You know, we saw that you actually stepped in for me once, but they might not, the audience might not know who LaToya is. Give us a little tidbits on you.
Who is LaToya Henry? So born and raised Detroit, Michigan. Before coming to AT&T, I was actually a high school math teacher in Detroit Public Schools. Been in AT&T for 12 years. Currently, I am in corporate communications on the employee comms team where we tell employee stories. And so we are working on a strategy to take those stories on social and really drive employee advocacy and employee engagement on social. So listen, if you have a good story to tell, come talk to me. We can make magic happen and get that out there.
All right. Love it. Yeah, now, I often, back in the day, I used to talk about our favorite drink of choice when we have this discussion. LaToya, I have my, Misto coffee here, dark roast. What's your favorite choice beverage as we relax and unwind over the next few minutes?
This is my nice H2O here because I know I'm going to have a lot of things to say as Phil talk and bring up certain topics. So got to keep my voice ready. I got my nice right. Cold water.
I get it. All right. So we're going to spend the next few minutes just doing a reflection, a review of some of the components that we've covered up until now for the year 2021. And two of those topics are going to be about mentoring, sponsorship, and advocacy, of course, but also building relationships. We're focusing on Mohammed Fishori as well as Melsai, I believe it was. All of them great leaders. They shared a lot with us on their respective recordings. But we had some questions, and we're going to peel back the onion, as my old director used to say in TU. Let's talk about some of the concepts in regards to mentoring, sponsorship, and advocacy in Mohammed's session. One key thing, LaToya, that I got out of his session was understanding that mentoring is all about relationship, okay? Relationship oriented, and advocacy and sponsorship is network oriented. And I loved his quote when he said, you know what? Understand whoever you get to mentor, whoever you get to be as your advocate and your sponsor, they're not going to wake up and say, how can I mentor Phil? We have to own that. One of the quotes that I love that he stated in our session was, hey, you own your own success, be your own CEO, and go get your board of directors. Any thoughts on those particular points that he made, LaToya?
So, you know, talking about sponsors and mentors, that's one of kind of like my favorite topics to talk about. And I truly enjoyed the conversation that you both had because it's so important. When it comes to mentors, you can have like so many mentors to help guide you and coach you. And, you know, I like that you guys talked about mentorship and coaching kind of like interchangeable. What I also like, and when we talk about sponsors, and I'll talk about myself in particularly, I really didn't know I had sponsors until like certain things came up. And I saw that certain people were advocating for me. And I was just like, wow. Mm-hmm. Sponsor. And then once you realize that you really do have a sponsor, you truly have to tap into that, because I think that is important. And in order to keep your sponsor informed, you have to really let them know kind of like the things that you're doing, things that you're interested in, keep them updated so that they can continue to mention your name when you're not in the room. Like mm-hmm. that's so important. And so I have sponsors that I might keep in touch with just via email so that they'll know like, hey, this is what's going on with me. I just got this nomination. I just got this promotion. Just so they could say, okay, they're continuously adding to this list of things. So as Muhammad was talking, I was like, yes, yes, that is so true. That is so true. Because I think sometimes we get mentors and sponsors, we get them confused. And when mm-hmm. he said board of directors, I think that is so important, because you need an entire board of directors. If that's one leader in each organization, if you're, you know, working at AT&T, you build your board of directors that way. It's so important to have people that's going to advocate for you, but it's also good to just have people to mentor you that new to the company, people who you normally, and we talked about this with Masai, who you really don't know or don't have any interest or commonalities, where you can just talk and kind of learn about each other. And then from mm-hmm. that, you can mentor. I love peer mentoring. I think it is so valuable. It is so important. When it comes to like your end of the year rating, your peer mentoring and the way they evaluate you is really more important than your supervisor evaluating you.
Really? Okay. All
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. Yes.
I wish we had a little bit more time to peel that one back. I like that one, Latoya. But so I get what you're saying. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And one article says sponsors advocate. And think about that. Sponsors advocate, sponsorship advocacy. Sponsors advocate actually on that person's behalf. They actually mm-hmm. open doors for you. They look to impact or influence those influencers on Latoya, on the Latoyas mm-hmm. in the room, or the Phils in the room. So I want to, one of the questions that came in, I want to get your take on it. Being a Black woman, being a woman of color, being a woman in corporate America, one of the questions was, sponsors are important for men, but why are they so critical for women? Latoya, what's your thoughts on that?
So can I really keep it real on here?
Keep it real. Let's be transparent.
Keep it real. Right. So being a Black woman in corporate America, being a woman, being a person of color, being a Black woman, you're kind of already at a disadvantage, because people are going to stereotype you. They're going to label you. You have unconscious biases. You have gender biases. So it's so many different layers before they even realize, like, I am more than the color of my skin. I am more than the color of my hair. Like, you shouldn't even think about those things. Think about my skill set, what I could bring to the table, my value add. Look at my history of projects I've worked on. But when they see a Black woman, sometimes I don't know if it's intimidation. I don't know, you know, what that is, but it's so much harder for us. And we have to like work 10 times harder to prove ourselves.
Yes.
It's unfortunate. It's true. It happened. I've been through that. You know, my daughter, I have a 14-year-old daughter. She's even experienced that, and she's young. And so it's so unfortunate, but we have to keep fighting to overcome that, mm-hmm. continuously overcoming. This upcoming week on Thursday, we have Women's Equality Day. Those days are so important. It means so much to us, and we have to continue to fight. We need our male counterparts. We need our male allies to stand behind us and fight for us. We need yes. companies like AT&T to continuously make room for female leaders to move up that corporate ladder. So it takes a lot to get through. I have so much confidence, so much faith that we're going to continue to break these barriers down. But it is so hard. And we also need people to stop thinking for us. Like, people might say, well, I don't want her on my team because maybe she's too nice, or maybe she's too bubbly. Well, I don't want her on my team because she might have children and she can't travel. How about you mm-hmm. have a conversation with that person, you know, mm-hmm. and we're coming to an age now where we're having more conversations. we need to develop an understanding and really get to know people. Then once you continue to talk to people and learn who they are, we can kind of like knock out of these unconscious biases that we have and truly understand that women are the way of the world and we are coming through. We have a message, we have a purpose, and we rule the world.
You rule the world. Oh, my Lord, you rule the world. Okay. All right. I hear you, LaToya. let me give some data. There's an article in LinkedIn that and the article's title is The Importance of Sponsorship for Women in Color. And there's some data that is rather startling when you look at it. And some of the data says that women hold just 24% of senior management roles, only representing 3% of CEOs in Fortune 500 companies. 3%. Only 1 in 18 women earn six figures in the U.S. versus 1 in 7 for men. Look at these. When you think about this data, and that's just women in general, women of color represent only 4% of C-level positions, far below some of our counterparts in regards to men and women. And despite all of this, I love the way you ended your say there. Despite all of that, LaToya, when you're talking about Black women, they still want to lead. They want to be an influential leader. They want to, and they're continuing to work towards that high-ranking position in corporate America. Now, with that said, so what do we do? This is stark data. Any thoughts on the data that I'm giving you? I know you had a lot to say at the beginning there, but does that resonate with you right now in any way, LaToya?
Absolutely. The first thing I do when I listen to town halls or panel discussions, I look at titles. I see how many women we have on the panel. I see how many people of color we have on the panel. So it's not surprising because you can look to the right, to the left, and you can see. It's not a lot at all. So, you know, it's not startling at all. And as I said before, you know, we need corporations to start making these opportunities and moving things out the way and making it more accessible for women and people of color. You know, ever since last year, you know, it's been a really big push in corporations to hire more minorities, people of color, Black people. And I think that is phenomenal. But that started back in 2020 for a reason. You know, what happened years before that, you know, and how can we make sure that we're staying the course for years to come? And how do we make sure that women are entering those C-suite level positions? Because it's really scarce, as you said in the data. So we really need to tap into that. And that's why I appreciate employee groups, because they are truly the voice of our employee base. You know, it is so important that we rally behind these employee groups and continue to have these real talk conversations to let leadership know, to let people know that we are aware of what's going on. We don't like it. We're fighting for it. We're going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to bring these conversations up, even if it makes you uncomfortable. We're going to continue to have it because we have to move forward. We have to move forward. And if we want our millennials, you know, the future generations to come behind us and really show value or make themselves valuable, it starts with us to start pivoting. It's time to truly pivot and make a way for those leaders.
My actual thoughts to your points, you know, and from a diversity standpoint, diversity where people or things differ, there's true strength and diversity when you really leverage differences in thoughts, differences in views, not just differences in gender. And I know there are, in my career of over 30 years with AT&T, my career, I have run into some very influential women, brilliant women, the Betty Cottons, the you know, going back to Janet Miller Fields, going back to some others also that women of color, very strong, powerful women of color who made a difference in my career as well. I wouldn't be where I am if not for them and other, not just women of color, but just women in general. They're making a huge mm-hmm. difference, considering opportunity for this Black brother on the west side, from the west side of Chicago. Can I be that transparent? I don't know, LaToya. Should I
yes,
say that?
Yes, right? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
My brother from the west side of Chicago, they saw beyond all of that and all of my immaturity and gave me an opportunity to excel, grow, and develop and mature in my purpose, right? So that's where, which leads me to my next question. That's where power and sponsorship comes into play. How do men and women advocate to get more sponsors in their corners, not just mentoring? Mentoring is great. You need those mentoring circles. Go out there and look for them in the network. They're out there. One-on-one group mm-hmm. mentoring circles. It's there. But you need sponsors. You need that advocate for you. So real quick, when you think about sponsors, what do I need to do? I'm gonna throw out something to you, and LaToya. I gathered some more data here in regards to research. What do you do to gain sponsorship? Number one is perform. Now, and number two is know who they are. Who are the good sponsors? And then number three, raise your hand and say, I want to. So let's break the, and just take a few moments here. Why is it so critical for you to perform? Because that's what gets looked at. Great performance has to be there. Opportunity doesn't just happen. You have to position yourself for that window of opportunity when it's there. Any thoughts on that, LaToya?
Mm-hmm. You have to show up and work. You know, a person can't advocate for you if they can't speak to anything you've worked on, to your skill set, to your personality, to the way you execute things, to the way you project management, to the way you lead. So you have to show up and work. You have to perform. And you have to be consistent with it. You yes. know, that's the only way somebody can truly advocate. I can't advocate for you if I've never seen anything that you've worked on. I can't advocate and say that you're a PowerPoint guru if I've never seen you actually work on a PowerPoint. So it's so important that you show up and you work.
Mm-hmm. What about raising your hand? And there's one thing about performing. What if I was to say to you, LaToya, well, I'm performing. That should be enough. My results should get me those opportunities. What would you tell someone that's up and coming, talented, great at, you know, getting results? But there's another side to obtaining sponsorship. That's about raising your hand. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I always tell my mentees, raise your hand, volunteer for the work that no one else wants.
Mm.
Go for the work no one else wants. Go for the work that people keep saying, there's no solution to this. I don't know how to fix this. Go fix it. Go work yes. on it. Show mm-hmm. them it can be done. So you're going to show up and work, but then you're going to also work on those projects that don't look all cute and glamorous, that you got to like pull your sleeves up and like truly work. That's how you show up, perform, and let them know. And then also, if it's people in your leadership group who you don't have relationship with, if mm-hmm. they see that you're performing, if they see that you truly develop this project and it's blooming and blossoming and it's the ROI is like phenomenal, they're going to remember your name. They're going to know you. So you don't have a relationship with them, but they know you. They know your work ethics. They know the quality that you're going to bring. They know the value that you add. So when you mix all of that together, you become a powerhouse and you're going to get some advocates to say, I want LaToya on my team because I know she's going to deliver.
Mm-hmm. And to your last point, you can't expect a person of influence that has any type of influencing power who you want to put their neck out on the line and they don't know what you do. They don't know what your work looks like. They don't know what your measure of success was on the project. So it's not just about showing you just the results. Hey, you can't expect them to do it until you raise your hand. They don't know you. You got to raise your hand and say, hey, I'm here. Here's what I've done. I loved your point that you made. Here's what I've done. Here's how the results came out. And here's how I contributed to it. And then we have to go back a few years and say, write your elevator speech. next time that you see that person of influence and power, be able to showcase what your leadership skills are, as well as the value that you can bring to their organization. As you've heard some of our leaders say on previous sessions, it isn't always about you. Sometimes it's about what can you bring to their organization for them. Excellent, excellent thoughts. Let's go to Masai real quick. Some of the things.
One thing before you go to Masai. I want to say that I always tell people I pride myself on that I can be 100% my authentic self when I go to work. I think that is so important. By being your authentic self, people recognize that because it's not relatable across people. People don't know how to be authentic. People don't know how to be true to themselves. And leaders respect people who are open, who are honest, who are transparent. And I think that is just another layer that's so important when we think about how do we get sponsors? How do we get people to advocate for us? That's another pillar of just being true to yourself and being truly authentic. And that's all I got to say.
Well, LaToya, no, that's just a great segue into this next segment. Real quick, he talked about building relationships, and go figure, he talked about having authentic relationships. So let me just ask you, how do you say I'm going to be my authentic self? I'm with you on that. So how does being your authentic self build relationships in the workplace? What do you think?
I think both talked about trust. When you talk about trust and building trust, I can tell if someone is being real with me and when someone is not being real with me. Mm-hmm. And when you're not being real with me, I'm side-eyeing you. And then I'm like, I trust you until you give me a reason not to trust you. But if you're not being your true authentic self and you trying to play me, I can pick that up. Just be mm-hmm. yourself. I can't be mad at you for being yourself. Mm-hmm. But I can side-eye you for being somebody who you're not.
I love that. What this side-eye thing, I'm going to have to work on this, whatever this side-eye thing is. I think you gave me that a couple of times. No, I'm just kidding. LaToya, when you think about what you're saying, being your authentic self is important. One of the courses that we taught back in the day talked about it. You want to increase engagement, be credible. You want to increase engagement with your people for leadership. You want to increase engagement, be credible. And what is it about being credible? Number one, it's about being trustworthy. You know, you want a trusting relationship. You have to show yourself to be trustworthy. How do I show myself to be trustworthy? Authentic is definitely one way we're talking about that. And it actually goes into the extraordinary leader model. When you think about it at AT&T, the central tenet is character. It's kind of funny when I often asked leadership across the organization. In a trusting class, I used to say, can you be honest with your people all the time? You'll be amazed at what some of the answers were, LaToya. There was a study by Kozes and Posner back in the 90s that said that out of these 300 attributes, what's the number one? The number one was honesty. People want you to be honest with them. Therein lies your starting point for building on authentic and trusting relationships. People will believe in you if you're honest. It's kind of interesting. You know, you can't be the leader that takes the credit all the time and not give it out.
Oh.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I touched a nerve there. Did I touch a nerve? We ain't
No, I am agreeing with you. I'm loving the data that you're bringing to the table because it speaks volume, because it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I'm just agreeing with you.
People, well, honesty was number one. It was more than being dependable, knowledgeable. People in relationship in today's time, outside of the corporate place, inside of the corporate place, honesty is number one. There's data actually that starts that I can't have a critical, watch this, Latoya, I can't have a critical conversation with you if I can't be honest. I loved how you asked earlier, we gonna be transparent? I don't think you used that term. What did you say? Authentic. Can we be authentic on here? You know, because if you can't, then it really paints a different picture, a different conversation, right?
And because you can lead somebody, down the wrong path by not being honest with them. If we're working on a project and it's not what the CEO wants, but you don't tell us as the project leader, that is going to be detrimental. Be honest so we can pivot, fail fast, pick back up, re-strategize so we can execute something. So you honesty, being honest, truthful, is so important in any type of relationship, just not at work, in your personal life as well. It will take you so far just keeping it real, telling the truth.
So you say, I'm telling the truth. I love that. I love that.
That's all.
Latoya, so real quick here, if you were to add one other attribute that helps build an authentic relationship in the workplace, even today, what would you say that it might be? Trusting, definitely. What else?
So when I think of, I think it's another layer to building relationships, but more so, how do we sustain these relationships? How do we keep them? We can network all day long. I can have a conversation with you. We can swap email addresses, phone numbers. But what happens after that? Mm-hmm. Let's stay in touch. How do we sustain? You need something, call me. I need something, I can call you. We are putting meetings on the calendar every month, every quarterly. Keep in touch. If you're working on a project and I see that you have a kudos or something, I'm going to reach back out and say, hey, great job on that. Maybe we can connect or partner and do X, Y, and Z. That's how you build relationships. That's how you build healthy relationships. You just don't call on people when you want something. You call them to say, hey, you need help with this? Hey, congratulations on this. I see. You know, I saw you on a Zoom call today. You didn't look real, you know, happy. Is something going on? Is it something I can do for you? You need me to pick up a work assignment? That's how you truly build authentic relationships. You have to nurture those relationships. Truly nurture them. And oftentimes we hear people say our work family is just like family because we are always together. Like, think about it. We're together 8 to 10 hours a day. We're working on projects. We're building trust amongst each other. So it's like, I trust you because we work on these projects day in and day out. I know what you're going to bring to the table. I know what you're not going to bring to the table. This is an everyday ongoing thing. So we have built a bond. We have built a family amongst each other. And so I think that is why we say our work family is just like family because we're together all the time. We're dependent on each other. We're building those relationships. We're sustaining, we're nurturing those relationships. We're looking out for one another. And I think like my circle of influence, we are like that inside of work and outside of work. Like we take care of each other. And I think that's so important when it comes to building relationships.
Having that other person's best interest at heart at all times is also important. I agree with you. Masai actually stated it in his session. He stated sometimes it's not about reaching out when you want something. It might just be about the reaching out, just to connect, just to say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. How's everything going? How's the project working out for you? Get out and look and see what their social media looks like. What are they working on? What is it? Check out on LinkedIn. Hey, I noticed you responded to this particular article. I want to give you my thoughts on it. How about some coffee or a virtual coffee for that matter? You know, COVID. So, you know, virtual coffee. Let's have some. Just showing that you care and that you're interested, and it's not always about wanting. That goes a long way to sustaining that trusting relationship that you have built with that individual. We got a minute left. Latoya, what would you like to leave with the audience today?
I want to say, listen, if there's somebody that's out there that you want to mentor you or you want to be a sponsor, get on their calendar. Be consistent. Be yourself. And go get it. You own your career. Own it. Don't put it in the hands of no one else. You own it. You can do it. You have the potential. You have so much inside of you. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is just overcome that fear, remove any boundaries, and go for it. We are in this COVID world. we are in this shelter in place, going back to shelter in place, working from home, put meetings on people's calendar. I challenge you to once a week, put a 15-minute meeting on somebody's calendar who you don't know, or a 15-minute meeting on somebody's calendar where you need to sustain that relationship just to check on them and see how they're doing. I promise you, it will go a long way and you'll see benefits in the end. How about you? What you want to leave? What you want to leave our audience with today, Phil?
I want the audience to know trusting, building a trusting a relationship, building a trusting relationship in this time is doable. If you go back to the old components, hey, connecting, being authentic, follow through on your promises and committing. I think that goes along with building a trusting relationship and us being powerful. Stay powerful in the moment. Whatever it is, last point, whatever it is that's causing you not to be powerful, let it go. Let it go. Because what's important now is, what do I need now to succeed? What can I do to help you succeed in this day and time? And let's move forward together. On that note, it has been powerful, LaToya. I've enjoyed the last few moments with you. I hope the network audience, I believe the network audience will get something from the last few minutes of our discussion. We appreciate you all. Stay safe, stay healthy, and see you at the next event. Wear your mask. See you at the next event. Bye, everyone.
Have a good one. Thanks for tuning in.